All right, so right here we have an interview with Jake Query. He's a sports broadcaster for IMS and a talk show host. He hosts Query and Schultz on ISC Sports Network. Thank you, Jake, for coming in and taking time out of your day to be on the interview.
Gentlemen, my pleasure. What's going on?
How's it going?
I mean, we're
it's going along. Nice day. I did some morning radio this morning, so it frees up the afternoon to get some things done. Obviously, getting set for the Colts in Miami this weekend, as well as this full slate of college football to look at. So there's a lot going on. So it's good to join you guys.
That's always good. All right. So the first question here, Jake, I know you've been doing radio for a while now in the Indianapolis area, but when did you get your first opportunity to get into the business?
Really, I think the first thing for me that I look at when I really kind of check out the totality of my career was exactly what you guys were doing. When I was a student a long time ago at North Central High School, we had WJEL, which was your Panther sports connection, by the way, rivals of my buddy Bryce Dininger, who I became friends with later, was doing stuff at Ben Davis, and I was at North Central, and we would call the games when Ben Davis and North Central would play one another, obviously next to each other in the broadcast booth, and then later became buddies in college and beyond. But my first real opportunity was at North Central doing play-by-play along with my buddy Mac Ingles, who later went on to be a writer for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and then also Adam Alexander, who does NASCAR and the Racing Hub on Fox. He was my color commentator and fellow play-by-play guy when we did basketball. Mac and I did football together. So that was really the start for me, and then I got into television in my professional career, and I transitioned over to radio back in 2008.
Okay, so you've been really around the whole area of radio and TV. So was there a certain person that influenced you or inspired you to do what you're doing today?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I knew at a young age what I wanted to do, and when I was in the sixth grade, I just picked up the telephone, actually, and called Ed Sorensen, who was the local sports director at WRTV, Channel 6, the ABC affiliate at the time, and he was kind of the big dominant broadcaster, and he was the guy that I watched on a regular basis. So I picked up the phone and called Ed and told him I wanted to be a sportscaster, and Ed kind of took me under his wing and really just kind of took me in and let me shadow him and follow him around. And, you know, my parents dropped me off one night, and as I always tell people, I just kind of never left. I was around Channel 6. I would go down fairly often when I had free time, or Friday nights, Saturday nights after football games, I'd go down and just hang out in the sports office and watch what they did. And I always enjoyed it, enjoyed being around it. And I've always been grateful for the just kind of the ability that Ed gave me to be able to go down and shadow it.
Hey, Jake, I have a question. What's it like being the guy calling the race in turn three? Like, describe, like, what's the feeling before the race, and how do you do it?
You know, it's a really good question. It's really funny to me because I never really think about it, because I've just always kind of done it, you know? Mm-hmm. We're lucky that we have a team between Mark James, who's our anchor up in the booth, and then in the turns, we have Nick Yeoman in turn one, Michael Young in two, I'm in three, and Chris Denary's in four, and you know, we're five guys that get along really well. It's really just kind of like being with your friends on the radio. So I think because it's the Indy 500 is one of 17 races in the NTT IndyCar Series schedule, and typically by the time Indy rolls around, it's like the fourth race of the year. So I've kind of gotten used to the color schemes of the cars and being able to recognize them. So really, more than anything else, it's just kind of a fun day. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know how to verbalize or prepare somebody for the ability to call 33 cars coming at you at 225 miles an hour, you know, 2 feet from one another. And I don't mean that to say that it's like a God-given skill, because I know that sounds really arrogant, but I don't really know of any time that I prepared for that exact type of sport to call. You know, I just was kind of thrown into doing it and did it. And I don't know that I really thought about what I was doing until after the fact, and then thought, whoa, that was crazy. Like, I can't believe I just did that. And so, you know, I've done it 15 times now. I've done 15 Indy 500s and 230 or so races. So it kind of becomes second nature at that point. But I think the thing that I would most attribute it to is just the timing and the rhythm and the meter of doing it is really just the byproduct of being around guys that I'm comfortable with, that we have fun with. And then we go up there and yeah, it's a job, but we know that we're very lucky to do it. And so we don't take for granted that opportunity, and we just have fun with it.
Yeah. So going off of your segment there, I know you do all that with the Indy 500, but how did you acquire that role?
I began working for MS Communications, which was, at the time, I was on WIBC, which was the flagship station of the IMS radio network back in 2007. And in that capacity, you know, I really wanted to do the 500 because I'd listened to it growing up, and I'd been to it with my dad for so many years. And so I went to the management of MS and just said, hey, can you guys use the partnership to try to get me, since I'm the morning show anchor at IBC, you know, can I try to parlay that into doing something with the radio network? And so they set up a meeting for me, and I went and I met with Wally Levitt, who is the general manager of the IMS radio network. And Wally just said to me, you know, look, we don't really have anything open right now. But, and I kind of went into it, guys, probably arrogantly thinking like, well, I'm working at WIBC, so they're going to have to give me this job, you know. And I went in, and Wally said, well, I don't have anything available, but if you want to do some stuff on the internet during practice sessions, you know, we can use you there. And I think I realize now, I mean, it was twofold for Wally. One, he got a chance to see what I could do, but two, you know, they had somebody to help fill time during times that they had to broadcast anyway. So I went in and did it, and I did, it was an Indy Lights session during the month of May, and I thought, I wanted to do more than this, but that was the only thing that was available at the time. So I did it, and then 2 days later, Wally called me back and said, listen, we have somebody that was supposed to be broadcasting the race for us as a pit reporter that has a scheduling conflict. Can you work the race in 2 days? And I said, yeah, sure. So I showed up on race day when I was supposed to be there. They threw a headset on me and a microphone, and I went down and called the pits. And then they used me for a variety of races for the rest of that season and through 2008, all of them in the pits. And then in 2009, Mike King, that was the anchor, called me to say that I was being moved to the turns. So I moved to the turns in 2009, and I've been in the turns ever since.
That's some good information to tell me. Thanks for that. Thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a very busy man, and I hope we can learn some of these things to better off our career and our future. So I think that's going to wrap up our interview with Jake Query.
Hey, thanks, James, for coming on the Sports Spotlight, man. Really.
All right, guys. Anytime. And if you need me to come on sometime to talk longer about the NFL, you let me know, and we'll figure something out. But I appreciate it. I certainly wish you guys the best of luck.
All right. Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you.